Ladies and gentlemen, Gandalf the Grayer here, filling in for Rex Bear at Leak Project. Merry Christmas. If you don't like Christmas, well, I hope you're having an awesome day anyway, and might as well make it good, right? December 25th. So there's a lot of speculation about why the 25th was picked as the holiday to worship Jesus, you know, for most people that are Christian. But that's not the main point today, ladies and gentlemen. What we're going to be talking about today is, did Albert Pike really consult with Lucifer and foretell three world wars over 150 years ago? Or should I say approximately 150 years ago? 1871, to be exact, is the date that Albert Pike supposedly consorted with Lucifer and gave a scripted version of how three world wars would unfold and usurp in, bring in a new era controlled by the Dark Lord himself, Lucifer. Well, from the information that I have gathered, ladies and gentlemen, the data that I present to you, I think that I will do a pretty good job debunking that conspiracy. But what is interesting is the letter that was supposedly written by Pike, and there are excerpts that go back into the late 1800s from various sources that I'm going to share with you, that did a very good job foretelling events that unfolded World War I and World War II. The World War III is most likely an add-on, an extra, and I'm going to share that with you in just a second. Now, was Albert Pike really, was he really a 33rd degree Freemason? Well, yes, he was a 33rd degree Freemason, and he might have even been higher than that, but I don't know of any degrees higher than that. Matter of fact, the 33rd degree is a Scottish, it's a Scottish rite, according to this. And if you can see right here, will you just look at it? This is Morals and Dogma. This is an old copy. This is from like the early 1900s. I don't think it's the original from the late 1800s. But this was given to me by Brady Shally. She does this incredible artwork. Behind me, as you can see, these paintings are all done by Brady. But she gave this to me for a Christmas present. This was given to her at an estate sale up the street. And she said, you know what, Rex, this is yours. This needs to be given to you. Something is telling me to give this to you. So this is the second time that Albert Pike or his persona has synchronized with what I'm doing, I guess. Let me go back. Let's go back to 2012. I'm working downtown, I think it was 2012, might have been 2011, working downtown San Antonio, Texas. I used to work for a Fortune 100 company. I'd get like 2-3 hour lunch breaks sometimes just because the way things worked out there. So I would wander around San Antonio, and it was several miles away. I was wandering around, and there's this temple, this Masonic temple, Albert Pike Masonic Temple, downtown San Antonio, Texas. So I wander to this temple, at least 2 miles away from my work, probably 2.3 miles. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. This is very fascinating. I just, you know, this energy was kind of coming over. It wasn't negative energy or anything. It was quite fascinating. But the very next day, Albert Pike and the Three World Wars letter that he supposedly wrote in 1871 was all over the webs. It was all over various conspiracy forums, and it was even on InfoWars. InfoWars was talking about Albert Pike. So I thought that was kind of interesting that the very next day, you know, Albert Pike's all over the media. But then now I've got this really cool book, Morals and Dogma. And this is deep, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to share with you some pretty powerful information out of this book. And hey, isn't it awesome that it's December 25th, 2017, and we're still here? How cool is that? Talk about a present. Every single day you wake up, you're in the present. It's a gift. I'm so glad you're all here. I would like to give out 10 premium memberships to the Leak Project. I know it's not a whole lot, but I can do that. I would like to do that. So please, the first 10 people that email me at leakproject@gmail.com. Say, I saw your Leak Project show for Christmas special, giving away a premium memberships. The first 10 people that send me an email and say you want a premium membership, I'm going to hook you up. Not going to cost you a dime. Then you can download over 1,500 podcasts, streamable ad-free, leakproject.com. So if you don't have access to the internet, you can download them on your phone and you can listen to them on the way to work. If you like to travel, whatever, give you something to do. 1,500 shows. That's, it's 3 years of nonstop garage packed information. So, all right. So yes, Pike, Albert Pike, for some reason, this guy keeps wandering back into my life. So I'm like, all right, well, let's find out how much truth there is. Let's find out how much truth there is to the three world wars. Did he really write about three world wars? I don't think so. And I'm gonna share that with you in a second. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and do it now. And then that way, give me just 1 second. Stand by. Your time is very valuable here. All right, it's kind of hard to see with all this extra hair that I have. Yeah. So, okay, bingo, Conspiracy Archives, conspiracyarchive.com. And I'm not even reading through the chat section here, which that's half the fun. If you guys ever have an opportunity to watch a live show, you should just come into the live show to read through the comments. It's great. It's like a troll session with tidbits of gourmet knowledge that you're not going to get anywhere else. Okay, so here is the letter. This is a part of the World War III that was supposedly predicted by Albert Pike, or I should say foretold after he communicated with Lucifer, supposedly. And I'm going to debunk that here in a minute, I think, but there's people out there that truly believe it. So, hey, maybe right on. So the cause, this is from 1920. This is an excerpt from 1920 called The Cause, which is out of a book on Freemasonry. Shall unchain the revolutionary nihilists and atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which will demonstrate clearly to the nations, in all of its horror, the effects of absolute unbelief, mother of savagery and of the most bloody disorder. Then everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the mad minority of revolutionaries will exterminate these destroyers of civilization and the multitude delusioned of Christianity, whose deist soul will up to that moment be without compass, thirsting for an ideal, but not knowing where to bestow their worship, will receive the true light by the universal manifestation of the pure Luciferian doctrine, at last made public, a manifestation which will arise from the general movement of reaction following the destruction of atheism and Christianity, both at the same time vanquished and exterminated. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. So that's a letter from 1920. Now, if you read the Albert Pike, here's Albert. He's hanging out. He's just having a good time. He's relaxing. He's like, hey, let me do my thing. You do your thing. I'll do mine. So the Library of Congress, Albert Pike, Pike Albert. Now, all right, let me go ahead and stop the screen here. What I would like to share with you now is the supposed letter, the Third World War edition to the 1871 letter that was supposedly written. This is the Third World War. Now, this is where it's all going to make sense. So stay with me, you guys. Stay with me. All right, here we go. Let me share this with you. Will you just look at it? This is from threeworldwars.com. The Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the difference caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam, the Muslim Arabic world, and political Zionism, the state of Israel, mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economic exhaustion. And then it goes on to say, and then it says, we shall unleash the nihilist and this. Doesn't this sound familiar right here? Wait a second. This add-on right here, this sounds just like the 1920 letter. What about the rest of the stuff? Who decided to add that to the extra here? It's like somebody out there wants to sell some books. They're like, what should we do? Well, let's take turmoil of today and let's just add it to this letter and then let's get rich. So here is where the add-on that was from 1920 at least. We shall unleash the nihilist and the atheist, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which is in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and of the most bloody turmoil. Then everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization. It's right there, ladies and gentlemen. It's right there. Let's just go back one more time. Boom. Will you just look at it? Rodriguez edition from 1957. Then you go to the car. This is where it came from, you guys. This is a book that became available in 1958. Somebody took that information, they put it in their book, and then they added some political ties to it to create a, it's a beautiful conspiracy. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's a beautiful conspiracy, but it's just a conspiracy. And I always love a good conspiracy. Now, with that said, I got it. This hair is just, it's like, man. All right, so let's talk about morals and dogma again. Let's go back to, I know, man, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Unbelievable. All right, now I want to go to this famous letter, or not the letter. Let's go to page 321. Hold on a second here. Here we go. Bingo. 321, page 321 from Morals and Dogma. The apocalypse is to those who receive the 19th degree, the apotheosis of the sublime faith, which aspires to God alone and despises all the pomps and works of Lucifer. Lucifer, the light bearer, strange and mysterious name to be given to the spirit of darkness. Lucifer, the son of the morning, is it he who bears the light? And with its splendors, intolerable blinds, feeble, sensual, or selfish souls. Doubt it not. So, if you go on the internet and you type in Albert Pike Lucifer, they're going to leave this. Most people are going to find the part that says, Lucifer the light bearer, strange and mysterious name is given to the spirit of darkness. Lucifer, the son of the morning, is it he who bears the light? And with its splendors, intolerable binds, feeble, sensual, or selfish souls. Doubt it not. So he's actually explaining what I see is he's trying to understand why if Lucifer is so evil, then how come Lucifer is also the light bearer? And notice that Lucifer is in all caps. And then it goes on, if you read through this, it describes Revelation. It describes the Sohar. It describes how the New Jerusalem that descends from heaven, how symbolic it is, and how each of the different elements, each of the different colors, the size, the numbers, everything, it all equates to a mystical, sublime, interstellar connection point. That the more research I do into true magic, into how to harness magic, like real magic, not magic that you're pulling out a rabbit out of a hat. We're talking literally creating something via mind, using your will to manifest your destiny, co-create your destiny. And the King of Solomon, you know, whether or not some people say Solomon is actually not even a real person. Solomon represents the sun and the moon and the connection of the magical points and everything that's interconnected with that. So that's why each day has a particular influence over people's personalities, over human behavior, over animalistic behavior, over the different spirits and elements of the skies that we don't see throughout the universe, throughout the cosmos. Remember, we're seeing 0.01% of the electromagnetic light spectrum. That's if we're lucky. And then our brain filters out half of that sometimes, depending on who you are, unless you're able to tap into your third eye. You know, if you have a really nice shaft, if you have a really nice, you know, rod, or you know what you might want to consider is picking yourself up a wand. You ever get a whole bunch of packages from Amazon and just look at the box and you're like, wait a second, that looks like a banana. How come Amazon got rich so quick? Well, they put bananas all over their boxes. Hello, they know how to use sigils. They know how to harness the energy. Let me just look at it. So this came like this, just nice, and you know, got this from the Northwest, nice and smooth. This is Puget Sound. It just came up to the coast and something said, Rex, This is yours, man. You take this with you and you enjoy it. So I've had this for over 10 years. And, you know, it's just a cool piece of wood. You know, it's always nice to have wood. It's always nice to have wood. I'm sure you'd agree with that. Hello. But so what do you guys think now about the Lucifer connection with Albert Pike? And it's crazy. I know somebody said that does look like, I'm actually looking at the comment section now for a second. Somebody said that does look like a banana. Yeah. Hello. You tell me, right? Swing. So, I mean, shaped like a banana. And why would they put this at the end of it? I mean, it's just, you know what it is, man. It's a symbol of somebody smiling. Yeah. That's what it's a symbol of. How do people not notice this stuff? I mean, I went to the post office box the other day and I saw like 15 packages of Amazon packaged up, and there's all these different, you know, some of them are standing up like this, some are like this, some are like this. And anyway, it's so funny, man. I love it. And then you watch people's body language sometimes, and it's just, you can see what they're thinking by their body language. They don't even realize it. They'll do stuff. Anyway, I'm divagating here. I'm digressing. Let's go back to what's more important, not Gandalf the Grey's rants here. But so I think that we can pretty much say it's safe to confirm that the World War III was an add-on. It was an addition. Still, a lot of that part of the letter, if you take it, I mean, about half of the letter from the World War III description is from at least 1920, 100 years ago. And it does describe a Luciferian doctrine being brought in and the destruction of Christianity and atheism. So the non-believers and the believers in Jesus Christ, according to this letter, they want to completely eliminate that and make everybody worship a specific doctrine. Now, what is his definition of Luciferian? Nanny, 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 nanny. What is his definition of Luciferian? Is it a deity? Is it a light? Is it an energy source? Is it a knowledge base? I would like to talk more about Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike, because I've been reading it and it's a thick book, and it's, you know, it's kind of tough for me to sit down and do one thing for a long period of time because I'm doing so many things at once constantly, but except for chewing gum with this, it's hard to chew gum with so much facial hair. But anyway, one thing that I have noticed that's discussed a lot in this book is, so far, let me just kind of give you a rundown here. Okay, symbolism. I took notes. Symbolism is the most powerful form of everything. So you take symbolism, everything breaks down to some type of symbol. And if you look at big corporations and businesses and people that seem to have a lot of power, oftentimes they will use these symbols in their titles. And language, as we know it, has been so perverted and so just, it's destroyed. Like the language that we use to communicate with most people, somebody could be picking up something completely different than what you're saying just because they've got, you know, misinterpretations of the word, or maybe you do, or maybe it's a combination of both. So symbolism is extremely powerful. And a lot of times people will be like, oh man, that symbol is evil. Well, a symbol can represent something good or evil. For example, the all-seeing eye. Some people refer to that as an evil, you know, reptilian eyeball that's sucking your soul out of your cerebral cortex, and it's imprisoning you with the Saturn rings. And then some people look at the eye as a foundation of the illuminator, the grand illuminator, being our sun in our solar system, because the ancients, they didn't worship the sun, but they worshiped the energy of the sun, because the sun would actually bring light, a living light force, to the planet that allowed crops to grow, etc. Now, the tablets that I've been researching, there's tablets that describe these battles in the heavens and how now the planetary bodies that are there that are described as angels mess up the soul's path to the divine. And if you look at these different planets, now they each represent a different harmonious being. They each represent a different vibrational frequency. So here on Earth, three rocks away from the sun versus a Mercurian energy or a Venus type energy, the ancients broke it down into sevens. The seven, that number seven, is constant throughout these ancient tablets, the ancient scriptures, whether it's the Bible, the Sumerian text, the Mesopotamian stuff. These seven refers to the moon, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, Venus, and Saturn. Saturn is the king energy in these pantheons. Now you can go back even further, and some people say that Saturn at one point was a star, and our sun right now currently was not a star. I don't know how much truth there is to that. So, you know, was that 1 million years ago, 100 million years ago? I don't know. But it's interesting to do the research on these tablets that describe these battles in heaven and how these giant angels are jockeying for position. So I wonder what it was like 100 million years ago, 1 billion years ago. And the moon, that's where it is currently, how did it get there and why is it there? And so are we experiencing something like we are actually in the microcosm of the macrocosm, and then there's microcosms within our macrocosm? You know, it's like these infinite fractals, and we're experiencing different vibrational levels. And if you've got a huge planet, for example, Jupiter, which Jupiter is Thursday. Jupiter governs over Thursday, and Jupiter is the color blue. So if you want to, you know, for example, Thursday, you're in sales, you want to make a lot of money that day, wear a blue shirt, wear some blue socks, and focus your energies and what you're doing at particular times of the day. Even if you break down the hours, and each hour of each day will have a specific archetype or an angelic force that rules over that hour. And then you look at these Freemason lodges and many temples, and they, in my opinion, do represent some type of interstellar connection point. It's like an interstellar shelter. It's a building that you can actually communicate with these different entities and archetypes and beings. And once you learn how to activate your third eye to the point to where you're actually harmoniously working with them, it's incredible. And one thing that I noticed about what Pike talks about in this book is, I'm going to connect this all back to symbolism, is he says that most people just they don't understand. You can give them the truth, but they're so ignorant, and their purpose and their will isn't in the right place, that they're not designed to know the truth. So they have their own false realities and paradigms based upon these symbols. Excuse me. So somebody said, stroking the rod, Rex. My rod's right here. Okay. I'm going to set this down. Simmer down now. Simmer down. Hold on a second. There we go. All right. No, I'm not stroking my rod again, but I am looking at this ancient book right here. Okay, I just opened up a page 375. It is certain that up to the time of Cicero, the mysteries still retain much of their original character of sanctity and purity. And at a later day, as we know, Nero, after committing a horrible crime, did not dare, even in Greece, to aid in the celebration of the mysteries. Nor at a still later day was Constantine, the Christian emperor, allowed to do so after his murder of his relatives. Everywhere and in all their forms, the mysteries were funeral and celebrated the mystical death and restoration to life of some divine or heroic personage. And the details of the legend and the mode of the death varied and the different countries where the mysteries were practiced. So if you read through the book and how he kind of describes how these symbols are out there, and oftentimes they will, even those in higher positions of order will throw false paradigms in the symbols to make people believe different things, he justifies all that in this work. Now, I'm looking at it from a neutral standpoint. I'm reading through this and I am analyzing it and processing it in my mind to come up with my own conclusions. So I'm not saying I agree with this. I'm just sharing this with you guys. But I've also read through in this text, it talks about, dang it. Kind of spooked me out a little bit. All right, so, where's I going with this? I just completely lost my train of thought. Hey, Merry Christmas, Snooch. Thank you very much. Somebody just hit the super chat button, I noticed. That was very awesome of you. May Santa Claus find you. All right. I don't even remember where I was going with this. I just completely had a pattern interrupt, and there must have been a reason for that. Okay. Brain freeze. Symbolism being the most powerful universal code of all, starting from quantum to apex with the nexus in between. These are just some notes that I wrote down. And sending out, I don't know what you guys think about, should everybody be able to have all the information and keys to the kingdom, or should they have to work for it? Should they have, you know, it's like saying, okay, here's $1 billion, just go spend it. Or should you have to work for that money? I think that Albert Pike really pushes in this book so far that I've read, that the reason they've got these secret orders and fraternities to hide these keys and this knowledge is because if anybody without the right understanding, without the right, you know, you have to exercise to get to a certain level. If you're going to do the Tour de France, not only do you have to have just incredible DNA, but you have to work just, you know, 12, 16 hours a day, constantly riding your bike, eating right, et cetera. Try going up the Pyrenees at 25 miles an hour on a bicycle. It's crazy. But, you know, they have to get to that level. So I wonder if, because there's so much knowledge and information available, and because we're so powerful, if people aren't ready and they just go out and assume, and they've got these keys to how to literally tap into certain angelic beings and how to focus their energies and how to create their reality, but they don't even know what they're creating, then you could have serious chaos. So I'm looking at this from a perspective of there's so much knowledge available, and we are so powerful with the divine spark within that they're attempting to keep stability. Now, there's people out there, I don't know about Albert Pike, but I think that it's gotten kind of, it's been abused to the point to where now they're hiding it and they're not going to share it with anybody, even the right people that should have the knowledge. And now the wrong people, the people in power, there's a lot of people that probably shouldn't have this power and this wisdom, they do. And it's been passed on from generations to generations. So it's very fascinating indeed. And that's why I think the more knowledge you have, the more information you have, the better decisions you can make on what you believe is right and wrong. And the just and the divine will work through you, because the divine knows what your heart is. The divine knows what you're thinking and how you're feeling on the inside more than you do. So way ahead of these supercomputers that can forecast what you're doing, think of what the divine can do. That's my beliefs. And also in this book, it talks about how the Freemason Foundation, and I'm not a Freemason, guys. I'm not a part of any secret society. The Freemason, they want you to have like a foundation of some type of God, whether it's Christian, Judaic, or Islamic, just because it's a certain foundation of the spiritual beliefs in some of these levels. So it's very interesting to get into. Oh, yeah, I remember what I was talking about. And then I was talking about, I read through the different kind of commandments of the Masonic order, the different commandments. And every one that I read wasn't bad. It was, you know, like, be good to people, have compassion, have love, etc. So I find it very fascinating how the media, combined with people's genuine interest in thing and looking for the truth because they've been lied to so much, they label anybody or anything that doesn't fit their order as evil or bad. So it's like the powers that be know this, that select few, those, you know, 0.00000001%, they know that the masses are going to be fighting amongst themselves, so they don't even have to really do anything. And now they've probably got AI systems and computer algorithms and forecasting, because everybody's connected to the web, to where it does everything for them. It's like, okay, if you pass this law, then you're going to get X amount of people that are going to disagree, and Y that will agree. So Y is superior to X, so just go ahead and pass it. Okay, you want to make a military weak? You want to make a people weak in 20 years and 30 years? What do? Well, pretend that there's a pandemic, come up with a false solution that's supposed to protect them from the pandemic, when in reality, that false solution will actually make those people sicker, and it will genetically mess up their fullest potential and rewrite them at a biological level, to where 20, 30 years down the road, there's going to be so much confusion and people will barely be able to take care of themselves. I mean, what happens when society collapses? As amazing as things are right now, with as much power as we have, with as many abilities and technologies, it's on a house of cards. One thing goes wrong, you could have a plethora of things underneath that that collapse with it. Look at how quick the United States has risen in power. What are our backup plans? What happens if the power goes out for a year? Seriously, think about it. What, this sounds like an easy fix. Oh, no big deal. We'll find a way through. Most of us will, especially here at the Leak Project. I feel that most of us in the Leak Project will absolutely find a way through. That's why we're here right now. We're looking for solutions. We're looking for alternatives of the brain drain media. We're looking for alternatives of a psychopathic, consumer-driven society that is feeding 99% to the 0.00000001% and giving the little, you know, the scraps to the people that are building it up. And that's, oh yeah, that's another thing I want to talk to you about with this book. Absolutely. That's one thing that's very important. Albert Pike talks about how it's will over will. It's mind over mind. And the mind is far greater than the physical. And the mind, the intellect, is actually given from the divine. That's one thing that you have truly been given from the divine. So that is an absolute gift. So those out there that use their minds and their will to create and sculpt a harmonious reality, if they are given that from the divine, is it not therefore sublime? Hello, bingo. That's deep thoughts. Gandalf the Grayer. So let me see what else I want to share with you guys. I have some more notes here. I'm telling you, facial hair. Yeah, so he discusses how most people can't handle the truth and they prefer stories and allegories. Much of the meanings and the symbolism is misinterpreted and oftentimes intentionally. The meanings are manipulated to the masses. I was reading through this and Solomon got brought up on one of the pages, and the reference to the temple and the Masonic Lodge, how they've got everything lined up specifically to correlate with the higher deities, the, you know, the planets, the cosmos, as above, so below, the yin, the yang, the alpha, the omega, the light, the dark, the shadow. The meadow. And then, so will over will, hierarchy of people, similar to the triangle, the trifecta. And he discusses the pyramid. He discusses also how the three points represent a multitude of things, not just, you know, like in certain religions, if you look at the symbology and the storylines and the people and the timelines, they're designed to link up with the astrological events and the planets and the hours and the time frames. It's incredible. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. The deeper I dig into these ancient mysteries, when I get my new studio, we're going to have to set it up, you guys, to where it's going to be full-on interdimensional temple studio to like relay harmonious information to the world. And then you guys will all be a part of it, and then you guys can set up your, you know, your awesome interstellar temples in your house. You can set up these. And I'm telling you, like, talk about bringing a higher level of vibrational frequencies. Bingo. All right. I'm digressing a little bit. So will over will, ladies and gentlemen, will over will. Are we having fun yet? Somebody says, have you ever been to Utah? Yeah, I've been to Utah. I grew up out there. Utah is awesome. Probably one of the coolest states on the planet. As a matter of fact, it's about as close to Mars as you can get. They even have a facility. It's funny you brought that up because I was watching Ozzy Osbourne yesterday going to Utah with his son. They went to the Mars facility out there where they've got like a Mars research facility. How often have I told you guys Utah is as close to Mars as it gets? So I don't know if I've got much left for now. I will be back on here in a little bit. But do you guys have anything you want to talk about? Why not? We're here. It's Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. And even if you don't worship the Christ, or if you don't believe in Christmas or whatever, well, merry happy day to you. So merry happy day to you. Have a merry happy day. And, you know, December 25th, that's another thing that I wanted to bring up to you guys while we're here. We might as well just talk about it a little bit. Salt Lake City, awesome city. Love it out there. Park City's awesome. Yes, Moab, Utah is awesome. Like, if you guys think the Grand Canyon is cool, go check out the Canyonlands in Utah. It's like two Grand Canyons connected together. You can go to Island in the Sky, get a full-on panoramic view. You can rent out a Jeep. You can take your mountain bike out there. You can do about whatever you want, as long as it's legal. It's pretty awesome out there. Versus if you go to the Grand Canyon, so much of it's blocked off and there's only limited places you can go and stuff. And yeah, Utah is a real gem. There's some fun things out there. But talk about expensive. My goodness, I didn't know how expensive Moab was until recently. Well, I've known for a while, but last time I went to Moab, just every year it gets more and more expensive to get a hotel out there. It's crazy. But why would you want to stay in a hotel in Moab anyway? You want to get a tent. You want to go out in the middle of nowhere and check out the stars. But yeah, one thing cool about Utah, I think you probably brought this up because of those ancient hieroglyphics that are out there, or petroglyphs, I'm sorry, that are at least 8,000 years old. And they've got these places out there that you have to get to on foot that take several hours to, that are just in the middle of nowhere. And these things look like, they're like ghost people. They don't have any limbs, and very interesting out there. Yeah, Utah is fascinating. And plus, I've actually seen two UFOs in Utah. The experience that I told you guys about when I was just a toddler that I can remember like it was almost yesterday was in Utah. So there's a lot of paranormal stuff that goes on out there. I saw a rod-shaped UFO in northern Utah off the freeway out there. And then the next week, I was with my coworker. We were in southern Utah, and we both saw, looked like the same rod-shaped UFO. Very cool. That was back in 2015. So a lot of activity out there. Plus, you've got Dugway, which is it's a lot like Area 51. It's very difficult to get into anywhere close to the Dugway Proving Grounds. There's a lot of hiking you can do around there and stuff, and you might be able to get up to a certain peak, but yeah, that's a very interesting area. You've got a lot of uranium mines, abandoned uranium mines in southern Utah, just in the middle of nowhere. There is supposedly in, I think, Cottonwood Canyon somewhere, a off-limits mega computer system that houses, it's a facility that houses some, like, what am I looking for? Genealogy records, like one of the top places in the world for genealogy records. Yeah, Utah's got, there's a lot going on out there, and the elevation's out there pretty high too. It reminds me a lot of Colorado. There's a lot going on in Colorado right now. Later today, I might share with you guys, it's a painting from, it's a mural from Colorado. Into the international airport. And this is one of the murals that you very rarely see. And I want to save this for another podcast, because I think it deserves its own show, where it looks like a transhuman machine system is created and superior and above the humans. It's above the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, and the element kingdom, because it shows itself going above the top, going through the top of this mountain. And it looks like this being that's manifested out of the, off of the hard work and the labor of everything else. Like, it's this manifestation of this super being entity, godlike form, that is superior to, once again, humans, animals, plants, and elements, all the different kingdoms. It's like the superior deity. It's pretty freaky. It's pretty freaky. I asked somebody what that looked like to them. They said it looked like a machine pooping out a human being. Said, there's a lot more than that that I see. But yeah, very interesting. And this is one of those paintings in Denver that I'm sure you've seen all the other ones, but this one you don't see very often, at least I didn't. And it's the scariest one out there. I think this is scarier than the ones that show the people in coffins and all the people, you know, gathering behind them, uniting with a one world nation. And then the stormtroopers with the giant swords. And it's even spookier than that. But I got to say, guys, it's been a lot of fun, and I thank you all for coming on here. I also, later today, I'm going to share with you, I found some ancient spells. I mean, these things could be tens of thousands of years old. They're actually from tablets that are at least 6,000 years old. And they are energy. It's dark magic that's connected to Anu, Enlil, and Enki. When I say connected to it, it shows how to use their names to cast spells on your enemies. I mean, this is just fascinating and spooky stuff. Like, I was kind of even spooked just to read it. It's that scary. So I might share that with you guys later, if you dare. And what are you doing for Christmas? I hope you're, you know, spending time with the ones that you love. My family's actually on vacation right now, so it gives me more time to do podcasts and share with you guys. And thank you for being here. So have a beautiful day, everybody. Make sure to support our sponsors. I've got some really cool sponsors. It's funny sometimes when I read through the comments that people are like, Rex, I used to love your shows, man, but now you've got a sponsor, so I can't listen to you anymore. You should be glad that I have a sponsor, because with sponsors, first of all, I can do more shows, and the sponsors that I have are awesome. So you should try them out. Seriously, check out getthetea.com if you want some amazing supplements. I mean, just look at what it's done for me. Joking, but no, check it out. Getthetea.com, amazing supplements. I take this stuff called colostrum. They've even got this mocha stuff out now, which is amazing. I love it. And if you just want to take a couple pills, they've got these things called GI Joy Tabs. You take two a day, one in the morning, one at night. It's like $38 for a 2-month supply. It's got organic aloe, turmeric, probiotics, and colostrum in it. Really good stuff. And if you are interested in checking out Noble Gold Investments, I mean, look at Bitcoin right now and look at all these e-coins going up and down, up and down, up and down. Those precious metals are always nice to have. If you're interested in diversifying, you might want to check out Noble Gold Investments. And also go to leakproject.com, become a premium member today. The first 10 emails that I get, as I said, I probably got 10 emails right now. I want to get you guys premium membership. So I'm going to go through those, the first 10 people that sent me emails. And thanks, guys. Thanks for everything. Think you're amazing. I love you guys and gals. Be excellent to each other and be the change you want to see. Oh, yeah. And also, you have passed. Woo! You passed. Good job, guys.